around 70. Monday, I think we're maybe in the low 70s with scattered showers around, and well into the 70s on Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Heirloom Jewelers, specializing in antique and estate jewelry, diamonds, high-end watches, and more. Buy, sell, and trade with Heirloom Jewelers on Vaughn Road. And find Heirloom Jewelers on Facebook.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. No arrests after a deadly shooting last night in Montgomery. Police tell us this happened just before 10:30 last night in the 100 block of Dogwood Drive. A woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Call Crime Stoppers at 215-STOP if you have any information. Montgomery police say one person is dead after a car crash Wednesday evening. This happened on Mobile Highway between Air Base Boulevard and Forte Lane. Right now, investigators are trying to figure out what led up to the wreck. And the Butler County School Board will turn its focus to budget cuts and reductions after a proposed property tax increase to boost school funding was voted down. School officials say they will work with the community to find the best way to fund the Butler County school system. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Super secret studios at a super cool radio station near you. It's the Health and Wealth Show. Now here's your host, the money man with the money plan. It's David Ernest.
Hello, this is David Ernest inviting you to Folklorelli's Pizza every Thursday night starting at 6:30 p.m. You will be able to sit down with me and Rusty and talk about anything you want to talk about. All you've got to say is the magic words, let's eat.
I think it's great that if they come out to Folcarelli's Pizza on Thursday nights at 6:30, they get 40% off. Don't forget the Health and Wealth Show weekday evenings at 7 here on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The deadliest deep freeze in a generation.
It feels like 30 to 60 below.
The president firing back at his intel chiefs, defending his foreign policy decisions.
Calling the country's top spies extremely passive and naive, suggesting they need to perhaps go back to school.
Police are now focusing on two persons of interest captured in what authorities called an encounter early Tuesday with the actor Jussie Smollett.
House and Senate negotiators began talks to reach a compromise on border security and avoid another government shutdown in just over 2 weeks. Now.
An elaborate bank heist thwarted.
This was definitely from straight out of a movie.
When police came to investigate this possible sinkhole in Pembroke Pines, Florida, they spotted a power cord inside, and nearby, they found the entrance to a tunnel.
Tyson Foods is recalling more than 36,000 pounds of chicken nuggets that may be contaminated with rubber.
For the first time, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell acknowledged the missed call in the NFC Championship game.
We understand the frustration of the fans.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. First-time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Who's the winner of the gift card?
Some girl.
Some girl, you need to call me at 272-9228 so I can hook you up. I got your card for you. Also, any caller can get in on this weekly Farm Market Gift Basket, which we're going to be doing that drawing tomorrow. And what's in that basket? $60 worth of things that you put into it. That's a pretty good deal. Also, tomorrow, they're going to have the Cuban sandwich off $2 if you go in and tell them you're a Dan Morris Show listener. That is tomorrow only. They also have Boston Butts, the large one, for $28. That is a steal. and you, but you need to order it at 280 Farm. Isn't that where 280?
Yes.
280 Farm, 280 Farm. They also have two St. Louis long cooking, slow cooking slab of ribs for $28. So get in on that, folks, but you need to call them at 280 Farm for the particularly for the Boston Butt for the Super Bowl day. You can pick it up on Sunday, bring it home, get ready for the game. Nobody gets hurt.
And again, that number, if you don't want to figure out Farm, 280-3276.
I like Farm better.
Yeah.
Also, Fresh Market is going to be doing the $14.99 slab of ribs. They'll be starting those. They'll do it on Saturday and Sunday. They start at 11 o'clock. Do not get shut out. If you're going to get them, they heat up really well. If you're not going to eat them right away, you're going to get them. And then, particularly if they're cooking some and you want to buy them, say, I'm going to come back, I think they'll still do that for you. But take advantage of that. They're going to be doing that Saturday and Sunday. Their ribs are also equally good. Cecil will be the man behind the grill there. He's the manager, but he's also a friend of mine. Great guy. Go up and tell him hi. Chat with him for a little bit. He's a really good guy. Let's see where we need to go here, my friend. Okay, Pompeo was on with Hannity last night. We've already played him talking about Venezuela. Now he's going to be talking about meeting with Kim Jong-un.
There's been a lot of talk about a second summit with Kim Jong-un. It's pretty amazing to me the progress there, because no more rockets. It was happening on a regular basis, being fired over Japan, threatening the entire region, even threatening the United States. Hostages have been returned. The remains of American soldiers have been returned, and denuclearization talks continue. What is the status now of where those negotiations are, and when do you foresee another summit?
So, Sean, I think we'll have a summit at the end of the month. That's the plan. That's what the North Koreans have now agreed to. It's what we've agreed to with them as well. We'll do it someplace in Asia. So I think that looks good. I'm dispatching a team. They're headed that way now to lay the foundations for what I hope will be a substantial additional step towards the path for not only denuclearization of the peninsula, but a brighter future for the North Korean people and security on the peninsula in a way that no previous administration has been able to achieve. I think it took President Trump to convince Chairman Kim that all the commitments that he made this past June in Singapore. Now it's time for my team and all of the United States government to work with the North Koreans to execute that and to deliver on our commitment to denuclearize that peninsula. Chairman Kim has told us he's prepared to do it, and now the mission is to deliver on that.
Wow, that's pretty good. So Pompeo, who I like an awful lot, by the way, he's going to be talking about the intelligence assessment that a caller had mentioned.
As the former director of the CIA, I would argue, and you know a lot more than me, that intelligence gathering is probably more of an art than necessarily a science, although some things are certain. As relates to intelligence interpretations of Iranian capabilities, you have the president, you have Prime Minister Netanyahu, maybe disagreeing with some of the intelligence reports. I would chalk that up to maybe interpretation, but I'm guessing. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think there's much dispute. And having had the chance to be the director of the CIA, I think the intelligence supports that Iran presents a real risk and that they have the capability to enrich nuclear material, fissile material. They have increasing capacities and continue to work towards improving their missile program. I guess it was last week, Sean, that they attempted to launch a space launch vehicle, which certainly would help them deliver on their missile program. These are all components that lead us to a place where they could one day have a system that threatens America. And President Trump has made clear we're not going to tolerate that. We're not going to let Iran end up where North Korea is today. And we have a set of policies in place to prevent that.
Okay. So this is pretty good, pretty good. Now, he's going to mention something that some people caught, some people didn't. But he's going to be asked about ISIS. And then he's going to mention an announcement on the February 5th State of the Union address that may be coming.
Last question is about Syria, Afghanistan, American troops. The president wants to pull back on troops. We only have about 2,000, in my understanding, in Syria. Some members of Congress, some members in the Senate have disagreement. Is there a solution, and what is the real status of ISIS? Is it degraded to the point where it's not anywhere near the threat it once was?
Well, the president will make a significant announcement, I think, in the State of the Union next week with respect to the status of the caliphate, the real estate, the grounds from which ISIS had been operating in Syria when this administration came in. You remember prisoners in cages, people kneeling on the beaches and being beheaded. This was tragic. We also know that in spite of the enormous progress we've made and the success that we've had, that the threat from radical Islamic terrorism is real, and we need to continue to do all that we can to make sure that there's not a resurgence of ISIS or that all the other variants of that terror regime continue to be under pressure. This administration's committed to that. President Trump has made clear it is a priority for him, and as the Secretary of State, I can promise the American people we will continue to do all that we can to keep them safe from this threat.
So what do you think he's going to say? Do you think, and are they going to cheer him if he says that they have lost all this ground? And because the assessment, threat assessment, which I pointed out here, is that they said ISIS is still able to strike. But that, to me, is the lone wolf type thing. It's like the Taliban person that blew himself up and all the other people. But I hope he's got it where it's going to get nailed down and the Democrats don't cheer him. Because I'm worried that that's what would happen. He'll say something, and he'll be, oh, here's another Trump falsehood. So whatever it is, it better be spot on. Okay, so Senator Johnson of Wisconsin was on America's Newsroom this morning. He's going to pick back up with ISIS in Syria.
The threat from radical Islamic terrorism is real, and we need to continue to do all that we can to make sure that there's not a resurgence of ISIS or that all the other variants of that terror regime continue to be under pressure. This administration's committed to that.
Okay, I sense some wiggle room. Do you sense a change in the battle over ISIS in Syria based on that comment about resurgence?
Well, I certainly hope that this administration will base its Syrian policy on conditions on the ground. We met with the co-chairperson, Ms. Ahmed, of the Syrian Defense Council. And they represent about 4 million Syrians. This is the group of Kurds, about 2.5 million Kurds, about 1.5 million Christians. These are the people that were our allies that did most of the fighting, or a lot of the fighting, that defeated ISIS and took away most of their caliphate territory. But they're fully aware of the fact that there are pockets of sleeper cells of ISIS, and they just view it as crucial that America maintain a presence. Our presence alone, even if we're not all that engaged in fighting, but just, you know, are there for support and intelligence, air support, that type of thing, is just crucial to maintaining stability for those 4 million Syrians that are just trying to lead a more peaceful, democratic life.
Okay, that makes sense to me. This guy's very measured. Now, he's going to be asked about the intelligence assessment. And listen to how he handles this, because he's basically going to say, yeah, they're really good and all that kind of stuff, but is this a stop and go? Yeah.
Yes.
Let's say it's really good and all of that, but, you know, sometimes you need to have a new set of eyes on things. This isn't it.
Okay, Senator, on the intel leaders who are on the Hill this week, they seem to express concerns about North Korea and Iran in ways that we have not heard from the commander-in-chief. Chuck Schumer jumped all over this. He tweeted this. He said it's past time for U.S. Intelligence Committee leaders to stage an intervention with real Donald Trump. The president fired back on that. On Twitter, the president said the intelligence people seem to be extremely passive and naive, he wrote. When it comes to the dangers of Iran, they are wrong. It continued. Perhaps intelligence should go back to school. Explain the disconnect here.
Well, you know, Bill, I came into public life after more than 30 years in the private sector. And even though I was very well read, followed the world and national events, when you come into public life and you face all these issues, particularly in foreign policy, where every country is steeped in history and tradition, there's an awful lot to learn. You have a steep learning curve. And so I've certainly relied on my staff and briefings from experts throughout the administration and throughout government to bring me up to to speed. And that would be my recommendation for anybody, particularly coming from the private sector, recognizing the fact that there's an awful lot to learn, an awful lot of complexity, and you have to rely on the advice and the judgment and the wisdom and just the experience of people who've been in these positions for decades, the real experts. That being said, people from the outside bring a completely different perspective. You know, you can get kind of caught up in the same old way of doing things. And so I think it's also valuable to have people from the private sector. People bring a different perspective.
Okay, so he's kind of saying, you know, maybe Trump's going to bring a different perspective to the thing, looking at it a little bit differently. And we are a little skeptical of sometimes how the intelligence community approaches something. It's kind of like job security. As long as there's a specter that's out there, then we're safe and you need us. And you need us right where we are so we can keep those bad guys at bay. I think that was a mentality in the 80s, but I think it's also a very much of a mentality now. Let's continue on with the senator.
Chief has made it, going back to the campaign, the point that he believes that the past leaders have gotten us into messes that we have not been able to get out of.
Well, to a certain extent, that's true. We do make mistakes. We're not perfect, but I think America is a phenomenal force for good in the world. We do need to lead when we aren't leading. The world experiences voids and vacuums that are filled by very unsavory characters. Most of the nations in the world, even if they don't declare it publicly, really do want American leadership because they see what happens in our absence. So again, from my standpoint, I think America is a phenomenal force for good in the world, and we have to lead. We have to be present.
I should have said the Trump tweet came before the Schumer tweet, so flip those around. On the wall, Lindsey Graham was saying the wall is going to get done last night with Sean Hannity yet again. And following that, here's the latest tweet from the president on the wall. Let's call them walls from now on and stop playing political games. A wall is a wall. What clues are you now getting? That's the wrong tweet, guys, but a wall is a wall is the one there. What clues are you getting from inside these negotiations as to whether or not there was progress from the outset starting yesterday?
Well, all I can say is I think pretty uniformly in the Republican conference, we don't want to see another shutdown. And we really don't want to see the president use his emergency power. So we hope the conferees can come to some accommodation, satisfies everybody, so we can move beyond, you know, this current debate. You know, listen, I completely agree with the president. We need better barriers. They work. Where we have them in four sectors, illegal immigration has declined by 90 to 95%. But we need so much more. We have laws and legal loopholes that are incentivizing these children and families to take very dangerous journey, endangering their life to come to this country illegally, and it's an exploding problem. It's a growing problem. So Democrats who minimize that are being completely disingenuous, and of course, they've also supported barriers in the past.
Are they going to give him part of what he wants, yes or no?
I hope so, because they've supported in the past. They're being completely hypocritical not to provide funding for better barriers, but we also need technology, but we also have to change these very broken laws.
Is capitalism with serious rules, and that means rules where everybody gets a chance to play.
Well, you heard it there, presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren.
My bad. I'm not sure how they got cut in there like that. Let me go to a break, and we've got a member of Congress, a Senator Capito from West Virginia, who's in the conference committee, but we also have a member of Congress that's in the conference committee, and he has found out that the Dems may have a little plan coming up here. We'll be back. Dan Mars Show right after this.
The Dan Mars Show.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Advertising drives the local economy. If you own a business, radio advertising helps you create an emotional response. And all purchases are emotional. Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help you grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Hey, Tammy, let me tell you about how to bring in those big deer.
Randy, I know how to attract the big bucks.
Ah, very funny. At Prattville Farm Center, we've been helping hunters be successful for over 35 years.
We have the products, supplies, and knowledge you need to get those big bucks.
That's right, Tammy. We don't believe in gimmicks or magic seed. We just believe in sound planting practices that work.
So come see us today at 1154 South Memorial Drive in Prattville.
Now that we're done talking about those big bucks, how about those cute does?
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American-run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Not all electricians are created equal. Some are more interested in making money than doing what's right for the customer. Well, not so at Mr. Electric of Montgomery. At Mr. Electric, their goal is to provide a safe home for your family. You can trust the experts at Mr. Electric of Montgomery to explain any problem thoroughly. Then take action to correct it in the most budget-friendly way possible. Mr. Electric offers upfront pricing, appointments on your schedule, and affordable financing options. When you have an electrical problem, don't put your home or family at risk. Call the licensed professionals at Mr. Electric of Montgomery, where the River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Ah, Big Bird. I want to let you know we're thinking about you, buddy. Major ear infection, sinus infection. Thought it was something a little more serious. But they're going to swing him loose tomorrow. So we get to the second part of Senator Johnson?
Yes.
Good. Now let's get into this GOP congressman that has some serious concerns about the bipartisan border negotiation.
Joining us right now is a member of that bipartisan committee trying to negotiate for a wall, Republican congressman from the great state of Georgia, Tom Graves, joins us. The president made it very clear yesterday when he tweeted out, if no wall or physical barrier, they are wasting their time. You saw the Democrats present their plan behind closed doors yesterday. They're not talking about a wall. They're not talking about a physical barrier.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. In fact, yesterday I was very optimistic going into the meeting. These are great people. I work with them on a daily basis. Right. We heard a lot of consensus about the need for border security. But I left with some serious concerns, quite frankly. I expected to be a very transparent and open process. And I heard the Democrats begin talking about some proposal they might have. And I asked about that. And in fact, they've had 6 weeks to come up with a proposal.
Sure.
And yet they sort of indicated, well, there's really nothing out there. We're not real sure. We're not finished. We don't have anything to share with the public because I think it should be scrutinized. But since then, I have found out that there is a bill that has been drafted that's under lock and key in some House office building that is the Democrats' proposal. It is their legislation that they're not sharing with the public. And we're 15 days away from the expiration of this continuing resolution. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that now I have a summary right here of their draft proposal.
Okay.
And in no way does it include any additional funding for any border wall or barrier, as they might refer to it.
So they're going to say no, they're not negotiating, and so they've already led with what their final bid is going to be, which is nothing. And it's going to be, yeah, I think we need to get beyond the 5th of February with State of the Union. But I think that the Dems may overplay their hand. They may look way too much like an obstructionist. They're talking, you're going to hear this later on, they're talking Medicaid, Medicare for all, and all these high price things, no border walls, amnesty, things like that. And it's stuff that America just isn't in sync with. So let's continue on with this GOP lawmaker and the secret bill.
Tom, as we look at these migrants down in Mexico City waiting to get on these buses to transport them closer to the U.S. border, essentially the president yesterday tweeted out about three different caravans with close to 12,000 people. This makes his point that there needs to be some sort of a barrier. But are the Democrats playing a semantics game where it's like, we're not going to call it a barrier, we're not going to call it a wall, but there will be something that kind of looks like a fence, but we're just not going to call it that?
Yeah, I think they are in a definitions game. They're trying to find consensus on the definition of what we all know to be true and needed, and that is a wall or a fence or an obstruction at our border that prevents any criminal activity from entering into our country and securing our country as well. So, but the key point is, if they're going to use these terms or lack of terms, why are they keeping things hidden from the American people? Why are they keeping their ideas, right, in fact, away from them? Had this draft proposal not been leaked to me, I wouldn't know about it. And I assure you that no other members that I've spoken to know about this. And so I'm hoping they will, you know, put a little sunlight in this process, yeah, and let's be transparent. You know, what's interesting as well is that yesterday we go through a couple of hours of nice comments. They recess the meeting, then shortly thereafter adjourn the House to next Tuesday. And yet here we are not having any meetings after I ask for the schedule, right, of meetings and when will we meet again? We're here to work.
Yeah, he's showing up. Newstalk 93.1 FM. Before I go into the break, if you've been out to Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars and you looked around, what you may want to do is, you saw something, you may want to do is go back out there, because they are changing their pricing constantly. Because as the car sits there in the lot, they want to move it, so they'll start dropping the price down. So if you've looked at something recently or you want to go out and look at it, go out to Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars. David Ingram has come up with this new program. I think it's going to be great because it's really going to match the cost of the car with how long it's been on the lot. And if it's been there, he's ready to get it out. So you're going to get what? A very, very good deal. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars. Go by and see Tip Tames. Tell him you're a Dan Morris Show listener. And ask him about the pricing and the fact that it changes. And it gets better for you as it sits on the lot. So if you've been out there recently, go back, see what the price is in that car now. If you're looking for a car, go out and find it, fix the price, and kind of see what you can do with the deal with them. They are ready to do business with you at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars. They really want to make you happy. They've made so many members of my family happy. Going to be back to my show right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by value pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned makes starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 5 days to return it for a full refund. 5 days to drive and decide. Need another reason to shop at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars? They're the area's largest buyer of used cars. Value pricing that can't be beat. 50 plus years of service to our community, a 5-day return policy, credit options for everyone, and a huge inventory of cars, trucks, and SUVs.
Come see me, Tip Thames, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on the Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
Mileage restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump today discussing his disagreement with intelligence officials who told Congress this week that North Korea won't denuclearize, ISIS remains a threat, and the Iran nuclear deal is working.
No, I disagree with certain things that they said. I think I'm right, but time will prove me right, probably.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the president's lack of respect for his intelligence agencies is cause for concern. The president also continuing his call for border wall funding in any federal spending plan. The Arctic air covering a large portion of the country is now being blamed for at least 10 deaths. The weather knocking out power to thousands in the Midwest, including Cape Fear in suburban Chicago.
It was just getting really, really cold no matter what I did. Tried to block the windows with blankets and my doors to try to keep the heat in.
Forecasters say warmer weather is expected this weekend. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Our temperatures are about to undergo a major turnaround in the right direction. Today, sunshine with a high temperature up to about 54. That's the beginning. Tonight, mostly clear, not quite as cold. Overnight low 34. Tomorrow, high near 60. Mostly sunny skies. Saturday's high, mid-60s. Slight chance of a shower. On Sunday, could be a couple of isolated showers around. High in the upper 60s to around 70. Monday, I think we're maybe in the low 70s with scattered showers around and well into the 70s on Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At Sage Legacy Council, we help families by protecting the assets of loved ones in a nursing home or those in need of long-term care. Call 649-4911. That's 649-4911.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other
lawyers. Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Thought it, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine.
272-9228, that's where we are.
I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Yes.
It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees.
Some girl, don't forget, you are the winner of the first market gift card, so give me a call at 272-9228. Let's do this. Let's go to Senator Capito, who has actually owned this committee. And she's going to be talking about what's going on in the conference committee. Let's listen in.
Funding for the wall. Here is something of what went on yesterday.
Every dollar spent on ineffective proposal means one less dollar invested in measures that actually keep us safe.
Comprehensive approach is necessary. An approach that includes technology, infrastructure, personnel, and physical barriers.
We'll continue to support border security, but we're for smart border security.
We need a wall, a physical barrier,
where the barrier works.
If the choice is between shut up or shut down, we've got to do our constitutional responsibility and avoid a shutdown.
West Virginia Senator Shelley Moore Capito chairs the Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee. She's on the bipartisan conference committee working on a deal right now. I want to talk to you about that deal behind closed doors. There's a lot of pressure right now on GOP senator conferees like yourself, Roy Blunt, John Hoeven, Richard Shelby, to cut a deal with Democrats on border security over the next 2 weeks. Mitch McConnell says to get it done. As an insider who's been inside these bipartisan committee meetings, do you think it's headed in that direction?
I think we're headed in the right direction. We had the meeting yesterday where we all really expressed the desire to reach a conclusion, to have Congress, the House, and the Senate work its will for the American people. And that means border security. There were a lot of doors left open on both sides, I think, enough that we can find the sweet spot with the president and others to be able to create barriers, technology, more people, more personnel, all the things that we agree on. I think we took a good step forward yesterday. We're not easily stopped or impeded, so we're going to keep working hard.
So she sounds kind of up-tempo, but and that was Shelby, that who is a he's the head of appropriations in the Senate, and he's on this committee. But it sounds like it's getting a little bogged down here, and the Democrats don't really want to play. So she's going to be asked, well, the fact that he doesn't get a deal, will this end the president's Trump's presidency, and how she thinks we need to listen to the experts?
The president tweeting this morning, and I'm going to read a couple of them. Large sections of wall have already been built, with much more either under construction or ready to go. Renovation of existing walls is also a very big part of the plan to finally, after many decades, properly secure our border. The wall is getting done one way or the other, with an exclamation point. Another, let's just call them walls from now on and stop playing political games. A wall is a wall. So we know where the president stands. We know where Senator Lindsey Graham stands. In fact, last night he told Sean Hannity that if President Trump backs away from his demand for the $5.7 billion to fund this wall, it could actually mark what he called the end of 2019 in terms of him being an effective president and probably the end of his presidency. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't think any one thing ends anybody's presidency. I think the president has been very, very firm on this because the data backs up the realization that walls and barriers do work. Where walls have been placed over the over 600 miles that we have, the influx of illegal immigration has gone drastically down. There are portions of Texas where people are flooding over 1,500 a night because we don't have any impediments, whether it's a wall, a levee, a barrier, vehicle gates, all of the different options that I would put under the category of a wall. Is very much needed there. The professionals have a 33-point plan. The Customs and Border Patrol, they know where they need physical structure. And we need to listen to them.
We need to listen to them. Boy, that's like speaking the truth. So Senator Capito is going to be talking about the things like, is DACA on the table or other things on the table?
Democrats, as Graham put it, essentially are telling the Republicans to go to hell. Those are his quotes when it comes to getting any compromise on this wall. I want to talk to you about some more options on the table for Democrats to get a deal done, as McConnell says. One compromise Graham told Hannity that he would support in exchange for wall funding would be to give three-year work permits to approximately 700,000 undocumented immigrants who were brought to the United States as children, of course, under the former Obama administration's DACA program. Will 3 years, do you believe, be enough to satisfy Democrats?
Well, I would point out that one thing in all of the conversations we had yesterday, DACA, as it's called, was not a part of the discussion. I think that we need to focus on what's in the Homeland Security bill, my bill, which is, things like TSA and Coast Guard, but also, of course, the wall, custom border protection, what you do with detention centers and all those sorts of things. I think as time moves on, we may get broader in discussions. But right now, I think if we stay focused on the issue at hand and wrap this up and keep government open, we can live to fight another day on things like DACA. I mean, I've already voted in favor of this, so I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not sure that that's the icing on the cake.
That's not going to be enough to push it through, is what you're saying.
I don't think so.
Okay. So she's on this conference committee, and Shelby is very good at this kind of stuff, by the way. And I think he's getting a little frustrated because the Dems just aren't moving at all on this. So the main issue here is they need to buckle down and get this thing done.
Let's talk other option. Graham also said people from 10 countries who have temporary protected status should have their legal status reaffirmed, but shouldn't be given a pathway to citizenship. A lot of people are concerned about, you know, a path to amnesty, if you will. This would not necessarily mean, though, amnesty by rewarding those already in this country illegally, correct?
No, I think there's a great many of us, me included, who oppose amnesty or the pathway to citizenship. That's pretty clear. That's not going to happen. I think there's all kinds of peripheral issues around this. I think we can settle the main issue, which is the border security issue. We can then begin to discuss if the will of the conference is to discuss all these other issues, because other things thrown in are debt limit, budget caps, immigration reform. Those are issues that we could maybe look at later. But if we don't get the central issue buckled down, we're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. So if they're going to fight it like that, it's already kind of fait accompli in her mind. So we'll see what happens. The potential secret bill in the House that's out there, and are they really going to negotiate? And I hope they bring in a whole bunch of experts to say, look, it's a combination of wall or barrier, technology, personnel. You need to make this simple to understand and get away from the political purposes on this thing. Before I move into another subject, we talked about the Empire Star yesterday and the attack that was on him in Chicago. Well, there's new evidence that's out here, and they do have him on camera coming back to the unit after he had breakfast, and he has a noose around his neck. They also see two people, but in the video that I looked at, I didn't see mega hats on them anywhere, but my old eyes may not have seen it. But let's listen to the most recent information on that story.
Chicago police are looking for two potential persons of interest in a possible hate crime against actor Jussie Smollett. Police say a surveillance camera took these images of the two men on the night Smollett says he was beaten. The star of the TV drama Empire said his masked attackers yelled racist and homophobic slurs. Dean Reynolds is tracking the investigation.
The investigators are hoping the FBI can enhance those images to provide some distinguishing details. Now, the men are not considered suspects, but the police do want to know who they are and what they were doing when Smollett says he was attacked.
Sources tell CBS News the two figures seen in these dark surveillance images were also spotted sitting on a bench when Jussie Smollett walked past them across the street. They then appear to get up and follow him, although the three of them are never seen on camera together. About a minute later, investigators say another security camera captured Smollett returning to his apartment with a noose tied around his neck. The rope was untied, but still on his neck when police arrived 45 minutes after he says he was attacked.
So, let's get to the second part of the story that Dean Reynolds puts in here. Let's go. I give you
all of me. Smollett, a gay cast member of the Fox hit show Empire, told police two masked white men shouting racist epithets and gay slurs beat him up, knocked him to the ground, and doused him with an unknown chemical after he left a Subway restaurant around 2 a.m. on Tuesday. He also said his attackers allegedly yelled MAGA country, a reference to President Trump's campaign slogan. Why is it so hard to keep hold? Who got that popular vote? Smollett is known for speaking out against racism and bigotry, like in this 2017 music video. He is also a frequent critic of the president. The actor was the target of a threatening letter last week, which the FBI is now investigating. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
And what was alleged done here is this police are working on this, has no place in the city of Chicago.
Now, police sources tell us that Smollett says he was on the phone with his manager during at least part of that altercation, but so far neither man has agreed to turn over his cell phone for examination.
It's interesting.
I know.
I think the police should be, allow them to continue to do their work. It's, if there is, like, as I said, video evidence, I looked at the videos, it's not very clear. Maybe they'll have ways of kind of figuring out with multiple cameras where the guys went. Maybe there's a clear picture of what happened. But, yeah, I read the update this morning and was like, well, I still don't know.
Folks, it was our duty to bring out the new information that they were pulling forth, and that they do have some video. They did make a point saying that they're not suspects, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought anybody that would be in that video would have been two people would have been considered a suspect. So hopefully we'll know in kind of the fullness of time. I forgot that I've got Chris Coons, who Democrat senator that I wanted to get to also, and try to get to this Baltimore thing if we can. But this is Chris Coons, who is talking about securing our border now. The terminology is every Democrat says Democrats are for securing the border, and we're for it to doing it the smart way. And you heard Lowry say, every dollar that's misspent is a dollar that we're not spending correctly. They're using this kind of talking points, and the Republicans have need to break through this thing. They need to be talking about a total national security solution that includes fencing and barriers. Let's listen to the senator.
Now I have a summary right here of their draft proposal, and in no way does it include any additional funding for any border wall or barrier, as they might refer to it.
Congressman Tom Graves got to look at the Democrats' plan and proposal, and you heard what he just said. No barrier, no bollards, no fence. A member of that bipartisan committee negotiating a wall, blasting the Democrats' border proposal you just heard. So will Democrats be able to negotiate a deal? Many people look to Chris Coons for somebody that would broker some type of deal. Senator Chris Coons joins us right now. Senator, that Republican congressman was a little down about the prospects about the negotiation because of what he saw. Is he right?
Well, I know Congressman Graves well. I don't know if he's accurately portraying the opening position of Democrats on that committee, because as you said, Brian, I'm not on it. But I would pay attention to Nita Lowey, a seasoned senior appropriator from New York, who is one of the top Democrats on this committee, who said that everything is on the table. The government has been reopened. We should be having a wide open negotiation about how much money to invest in border security, for what types of technologies, and what would be the smartest use of those investments to help secure our southern border.
Okay, so okay, we're going to listen to some experts, but then as he kind of gets a little further, deeper in here, he's going to be talking about, my technology can do it.
Have you been convinced, because you know this issue, have you been convinced that a barrier, sophisticated fences, a barrier would be effective, like in the major cities where most experts say they belong?
Well, as you well know, Brian, we've got 700 miles of barrier right now. There are places where that's made a big difference in the dramatic reduction of flow into our country from Mexico. And so there are places where that's been effective, and we're upgrading it with modern technology, and surveillance would make it stronger and more effective. So I wouldn't rule that out. I'm one of many Democrats who have voted to strengthen border security. A lot of this difference or this fight has been between the president's rhetoric about a great big wall and the reality that the professionals, the leaders in CBP and DHS and many Democrats and Republicans agree we can strengthen border security with modern technology.
You can strengthen it, but you still need the barriers. That this is such a con that they're trying to pull out here. News Talk 93.1. Let me go to a break. Final segment coming up right after this.
Your News Talk place to be, The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say
say that you are mine. I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bell Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV, News Talk 93.1. Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
That's where we are. Let's continue on with Senator Chris Coons. And he's going to be talking about what Trump says and what he asked for. They don't necessarily match up here.
They came up with the 5.7 because they said in a 234 miles, and they said exactly where it's going to go. If you see that map and Democrats see that map, would they be open to doing what the president says experts have told him we need?
Well, remember, I'm just speaking for myself here, Brian. I would be open to a process where you've got experts deciding exactly where it's going to go. There was a disappointing, a big gap between what the president said when he gave an Oval Office speech, I think it was a week ago Saturday, and the paper that actually came over to the Senate. There were lots of other issues embedded in there about changing asylum rules. As long as what we see on paper reflects that kind of professional, independent analysis of where we can best invest these dollars. Border security is something that I and all Democrats who I work with in the Senate agree we should invest more in.
Right. I mean, you both could say they could say they got the barrier, and you could say we talked them off the cement wall, and it could be a win-win.
That's sort of why I'm here. Try and help make things like that happen, Brian.
There's an interesting piece that we've got a Baltimore story, but we may pick that up tomorrow. That's on the Super Bowl and security. This is something that always fascinates me, having been around this type of thing before at national conventions and world summits and G8 summits and things like that. But this is going to be talking about the Super Bowl with super security.
The Rams and Patriots will take turns playing defense during Sunday's Super Bowl, but other defenders at the stadium will not get a break. A small army of security is in place to protect 1 million visitors who will be in Atlanta this week. Mark Strassman is there with a look at Super Bowl 53's security lineup.
Every Super Bowl's layout and security plan is a little bit different. In Atlanta, a hard security perimeter of roughly a quarter mile will surround the stadium. Inside that perimeter, 13 of the 15 official NFL events will take place. And thousands of downtown security cameras will become this plan's eyes and ears. For security officials, this is their Super Bowl too. They've huddled for the last 2 years, trying to map out a lockdown defense against potential threats.
This is the nerve center.
Erica Shields is Atlanta's police chief. From the Security Operations Center, she'll direct more than 40 government agencies throughout Super Bowl week.
So what is it that keeps you up at night?
It's what you don't know. The challenge is you're going to have
everyone in one space. And so you really have to ensure that the perimeter is locked down.
There's obvious physical security, like 7 miles of fencing that rings the stadium and bomb-sniffing dogs.
Every arriving truck here gets an X-ray inspection by U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers, or CBP.
That's interesting. They're using Border Patrol, Customs and Border Patrol out there. I guess they're used to looking at all the trucks and stuff, so they're kind of pros at that to see what to look for. You know, the pregame of the Super Bowl where they're talking about this kind of stuff and all the things that are kind of going on, This really is a... My son did 4th of July at the mall in Washington, D.C. when we were kind of in the first part of that terrorist scare. And I honestly was a little worried about him, but I told him to really take note of how they do the security. And I kind of described to him what I thought it was going to be like, and then He told me what it was like. But it's a huge undertaking to try to funnel that many people into an area and then whine and check them out to go through the gates and then get into the different perimeter checkpoints. It's kind of a standard operating procedure. So let's continue on. Again, this stuff just fascinates me.
We flew along with their patrolling Black Hawk helicopter through the 30-mile no-fly zone in place around the stadium.
So for the outer perimeter to prevent an attack by vehicle, you'll see sanitation trucks, cement barriers, water-filled barricades, anything that will stop a vehicle from crashing into the crowd.
Inside the security perimeter, what's known as the Super Bowl campus, you can spot a significant police presence. Everything from these traffic barriers to law enforcement drones. But there's also security you can't see against a threat no one can see.
A massive cyber attack last year crashed the city's computers for 2 weeks. So disruptive, police officers making traffic stops could not run license plates. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms says Atlanta's security systems will be all backed up in case an attack were to happen again.
It was waking up from a nightmare to know that our systems had been taken down in the city.
Is the city more prepared for a cyber attack now than it was a year ago?
We absolutely are.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen told us there is no known threat against the Super Bowl. But its high-profile status automatically makes it a potential target.
It's a huge part of our culture. I know a lot of Americans and others will be turning in on Sunday. As a result, we all work very closely together to make sure that it's a safe and secure day.
These security challenges will go on after Sunday's big game ends. Atlanta's airport is the world's busiest on Monday. An estimated 120,000 people will pass through airport security. That's double the typical number. Biana, the mayor here is calling it Mass Exodus Monday.
Okay.
Wow.
Really? I wonder if they're going to be using facial recognition cameras.
I'd imagine.
It's going to be interesting to see. I would love to be a fly on the wall on that. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show, my friend.
Good show today.
Guys, don't forget about Jack Ingram's Signature Used Cars. If you've been out there, you need to go back, see if they've changed the price of the car you were looking at, or just to get price fixes, so then you can kind of go back if you find something, but you want to see if it's going to be a little bit cheaper on a week from now. Jack Ingram's Signature Used Cars, go by and see them. Joey, thanks for a great show, guys. Be good, be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock and keep doing it until I get it right. Greg Budell, the great. He's next. Adios.